The following presentation was recorded at the Buddhist Society of Victoria, Malvern East, Australia. Please visit our website at bsv.net.au.
We're all well tonight. We're all calmed down and ready to do some meditation. Is there anybody that's their first time here tonight? We're all old hands at this. Is anybody brand new to meditation at all? You all know what you're doing? Awesome. That makes my job a lot easier. I can sit in much longer silence now. Okay. So with that, we'll start the meditation then. Just take a comfortable seat. And take a few deep breaths to start off with. Exhaling any tension or stress or worry that might be there from the day. As we breathe out, any concerns that we may have, see if you can make the intention just for the next hour or so to put all these down. These things that weigh on our hearts, just to put them aside. For the time being. We can notice the feeling of our body. Is there any tightness or feeling that something's weighing you down? Any tensions, discomforts, blockages? As you continue to breathe out, just let go any of those tensions in the body, trying to soften those areas that might experience some tightness, strain. Just loosen and relax those areas. Even scan throughout your body, noticing any areas that are tight or tense and loosening and softening them, just systematically relaxing each part of your body. especially notice your face. Is there any strain or tightness anywhere in your face, around your eyes, in your jaw, your forehead, your cheeks? As much as you can, just soften and relax all the different areas of your face. Especially around your eyes. And as we allow our body to settle and relax more, and soften and release tension, see if you can do the same with your thoughts and your mind. Any tension or stickiness, repetitive thoughts, just like you release the muscles in your body, just release these thoughts, these concerns. And soften and dissipate. Let them dissolve and be turned down, just like the volume on a stereo. Just gradually turn them down, let them drift away. And begin to rest and allow your attention or your awareness or your mindfulness to settle. Settle on any object that you're most familiar with. Might be the breath or a mantra. Sensations in your body. Simply lay your mindfulness down on this spot and allow it to rest, this object. Simply let your attention rest in a point of stillness. On your meditation object. Let the world around you just drop away. Remain singular, solitary. This point of mindfulness on the object. Like you're alone at one point. Like you're alone by yourself in a raft. A single raft. In the middle of the broad, expansive ocean. The wide sky above. Nobody around. But you. This single point in this broad expansiveness. And even though there might be some movement of the ocean, it's just the natural ebb and flow of nature around you. Simply rest and let go and remain in this single point within this broad expanse. We keep our mindfulness focused at one point. Everything else drops away. All that's left is stillness and silence. It's one-pointed, but it's expansive. Almost boundless. Without any impediment. Again, just like you were lying in a small boat in the middle of the vast ocean, looking up at a limitless sky. You might feel separate from the ocean or separate from the sky. If we zoom in or zoom out, we recognize that we're just a part of the ocean, of the sky. Zoom out and disappear into this broad expanse. The one that's in the boat is inseparable from the ocean and the sky above. It's the same, just an element of nature. A part of it.
also void and empty. Thank you. last few moments of the meditation. So you can allow yourself to come back online. Notice the sounds in the room, the weight of your body. Movement of the air coming and going as you breathe in and out. Start to become more embodied again. And take note of the quality of your mind state. Does it feel lighter, freer? Maybe even duller? Restless? Whatever it is, simply note it for what it is. Hopefully there is a freedom, an expanse, and a lightness there in the mind. A sense of release. And if there isn't, just for the last few moments, simply just drop everything. Let everything go. Hopefully you all had a nice meditation. If anybody has any questions or something they'd like to share, you're more than welcome now. If you need to go home, if home's a long way away, you can go home. If you want to ask some questions, you can stick around. Up to you.
Sorry, John, we've just had some sound difficulties.
Okay.
Might start the questions off with a previous question, if that's okay,
yeah.
From another session. Just give me 1 second. So this is a question from Bolivia, which is pretty cool to be on the other side of the world. So last year, I could meditate sitting down with relative ease. Mm. But since March of this year, it has been difficult for me.
Mm.
I feel very restless.
Mm.
What could have happened?
Well, hopefully you're listening. You're Bolivia and it was another time, so hopefully you're listening again. There's obviously a variety of things. It's very hard for me to tell exactly what's going on. I don't know exactly what's going on in your life. A lot of times things in life can just sort of come in and get in the way and disturb our mind. Different things, we might have different responsibilities, different new situations that we might be in. But there is something to reflect on and consider that this is just also quite normal in a long-term meditation practice. You go through periods where it's good and your mind might be calm and it's quite easy for you to sit meditation, but then you might go through other periods where it seems a lot more laborious. It seems like more of a chore. So we go through these kinds of ebbs and flows with the practice. It's not always smooth sailing and it's not always this exponentially kind of progressively better experience the more and more that we do it. You know, sometimes it progresses a little bit, sometimes it regresses a little bit, but if you stick with it, it will start to get better. There's this nice kind of way of thinking about it in that just say if you have a meditation practice and you sort of progress to a specific kind of level and you feel like, okay, my meditation's going quite good and my meditation's here, but what's going to happen is because you've moved up, your meditation's got a bit better, there's going to be a natural sort of reaction of things pulling back a bit. So you might have got up to this point, but then, you know, things start to pull back. So they seem like they're getting worse, but if you keep at it, it'll swing back again. And what happens is when it swings back again, it gets a little bit better the next time. And then, you know, obviously what's going to happen? It swings back again. But what's happening is you're moving this kind of baseline further and further up the longer that you stay with it. So this is just quite natural that our practice goes back and forward like this. There can be times where it might just be like a few days. Sometimes it may be a few weeks. Sometimes it might be a few months. Sometimes it might be like a few years. So this is, you know, some years are better than others. So this is just sort of the natural way that the practice goes. So don't worry about it too much. Worry about putting the right kind of causes in. That's the main thing. Don't worry too much about the results.
Thank you, Arjun. Is there any questions on the floor? It's really relevant to any practice.
Sorry?
That was really relevant to any practice, that answer.
Hi, thank you for that meditation.
No problem.
So when we meditate at home, is there a certain period of time that one should aim for, like... Obviously, 10 minutes is going to be different from 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But is it the case that it's better to do 10 if you can't do 45 sort of thing? Like what are the thoughts on the length of time you should meditate for?
Yeah, it's definitely if 10 is a lot more comfortable for you and you find that that's easier to sustain and you can continue to do it, you can make that a habitual practice with 10 minutes. 10 minutes is definitely a lot better than trying to do 45 minutes once a week or something like that. So we essentially just have to find out what the right level for us actually is. You know, for some people, yeah, some people it might be 10 minutes. Some people it might be even less. Some people it might be 5 minutes. Some people it might be 2 minutes or 1 minute a day. Some people it might be an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Different people are different. There's no kind of right answer to this of like that you should be doing X amount of meditation per day. It's just whatever you feel comfortable with. But what I always find a good, you know, metric to go by, if you think, well, okay, look, I'm comfortable with 10 minutes. I'm comfortable with doing 10 minutes and that feels good for me. That's right. Periodically, you know, and even, you know, reasonably regularly, periodically, try to increase it just a little bit. So just say if you're comfortable with 10 minutes, just go, let's just see what 12 minutes is like. Don't try to go, let's do 10 minutes. Okay, let's see what 2 hours is like. Like, don't make that jump. But just see if you can just increase it just a little bit. And then when you do, you go, actually, it wasn't that bad. 10 minutes was fine, but yeah, I can do 12 minutes. And if you keep sort of increasing like that, then it does become easier to over time. It's like, yeah, actually, I find it quite good to do longer periods of time. Because the more you train like this, what happens is like it, yeah, you do 10 minutes and it's good because what you can do in that time is you can focus pretty easily. You can focus pretty easily and like, okay, 10 minutes, pull my mind in, focus pretty easily. So it feels sort of, how would you say, productive in some kind of way. What happens is if you start to extend the time out a little bit more and you just get better and better at this, what you find is this sort of productivity. It allows you've sort of, in 10 minutes, you've pulled your mind into this sort of reasonably calm level. But the more you do it, it just keeps getting more and more deep. And so you'll start to notice as you start to extend the time out a little bit, it might take you a little bit more time to actually get deeper and deeper and deeper. But then so you're using more time, but your mind is getting calmer and calmer and calmer and calmer. But this takes time to develop. It's not something that you just jump into. It does, you know, it's by going up in those small increments. So yeah, there's no one right answer to this. But if you feel comfortable with 10 minutes, yeah, just do 10 minutes. It's totally fine.
Are there any more questions on the floor?
There's one behind you, Langdon. Yep.
Thanks for tonight meditation.
No problem.
I'm just wondering, what happens in your mind? How do you engage with suffering in the form of anger, for example, or sadness? Do you feel, in your case particularly, that you engage emotionally with this, but you know that it's transient, that it will go away? Or do you actually embrace that sadness, that anger, and you are able to think from a more intellectual point of view that it will go away, that you have to wait here, that things are, you know, just going to fade away?
Yeah. So if you're just asking me on a personal level, look, I get as carried away as the next person. Like, so sometimes the anger and the sadness and the despair comes up and it pulls me away. And you just get sort of spun around in it and sort of pulled down by it or pulled away by it. But other times, you know, I have a lot more mindfulness there and, you know, I can just go, well, this is just a transient sphere that's sort of moving through. This is just some kind of, you know, negative discomfort arising and moving through. So I definitely feel like over the years of practice, that's got a lot better, obviously. So the propensity that I have to be able to go into those more kind of those mindful states where things are just transient and you're just seeing it as something that dissolves and drifts away, that becomes a lot easier in time. But it's not to say that I'm free of it. You know, I get as pulled away by it as other people. But it's just, it's a lot easier to come back from the brink of that. Maybe when you're first practicing, or in the and when I mean by like first practicing, I mean like first couple of years, first, you know, 5 years, 10 years of practice. And it's like the time periods where you get lost in those things is longer. But as you go on and you keep practicing, like it just gets shorter and shorter and shorter. But it still, you know, it still happens. So I think everybody will deal with those kinds of sufferings in different way. You said one way was like that you just let it go, or the other way is that you embrace it in some kind of way. The other way is maybe the not so healthy way is just to ignore it or whatever it is. Everybody deals with suffering in a different kind of way. You just have to find what is the most kind of the healthiest way for yourself to actually do that. If you find that some kind of fear or something comes up in the mind and you can actually, you find a way to embrace that, and that's what feels the most healthy, and this is actually the thing that allows you to become friends with it in some way and be okay with it, you know, then do that. If you find it easier to maybe sort of, if a fear or anger comes up in the mind and you find it easier to go, no, I'm going to switch and do some, you know, actively generate kindness or something, yeah, do that. It is a lot of trial and error of what you have to do, and, you know, what will work for one person won't necessarily work for another person. So a lot of it is trying out different tactics with different mind states. So yeah, it's, but like, I guess the take home message from it is that like there is hope there. The more you practice, the easier it is to let go of this suffering. This, you know, this path of practice does work if you apply yourself to it. But it takes time, and you it's like you drive a car. It's like you're driving a car kind of thing. It's like, cool, I'm a pretty good driver and I'm moving along the road, but every now and again you bump into something and you ding your car up or whatever. So we're all pretty much in that same kind of situation, that we're not quite perfect. But if you keep going, then you generally get to the destination.
Thanks. Have a good night.
Yeah, thanks.
Have we got any more questions on the floor? Because if not, I can ask another previous question.
Yep.
So this person is talking about how they've found it much easier to cultivate contentment rather than metta.
Yep.
Is this normal? I'd like to practice contentment meditation more.
Yeah, that's an interesting distinction. Contentment could also be seen as, you can imagine contentment coming out of metta, this feeling that one is okay with everybody in the world. But you could also see contentment as this kind of equanimity as well. It might be, a contentment could be a kind of what we call upekkha, or balance that's in the mind. You know, that's sort of what I think of when I think of contentment, that I can accept things as they are and things are okay as they are. So if you have some specific method to practice a kind of contentment, yeah, for sure, keep going and do it. What we say about the Brahmaviharas, the Brahmaviharas, maybe if you don't know, they're these what we call these four positive abidings of loving kindness, compassion, you know, altruistic joy and equanimity. Now, they might seem like four different kinds of mind states, but actually they have a huge overlap and they support each other. So, you know, you can't really have compassion in its most unadulterated form without some kind of equanimity there. You know, you can't have altruistic joy towards another without some kind of metta or some kind of kindness there. So they are really interrelated. So if you are developing one of those things, and if, let's say it's contentment, and let's, you know, hypothetically say that it, you know, that it might be equanimity. If you're doing that, some kind of metta is going to arise from that as well. So I think, you know, if you find that that's a useful thing to do, then yeah, continue to do it. Contentment is a very, very good thing to develop. Just as long as it's not turning into some kind of apathy of like, oh, well, I'm content with everything, so I don't care about anything in the world. Just be careful of those ones. But if you find it's contentment with a sense of fulfillment, then you're on the right path. So, yeah.
Thank you, Arjun. Do we have time for one more?
Let's go one more. Yeah.
Does anyone have a question on the floor? We've got one more on the previous ones as well.
Yep.
So this is quite an interesting question that I've pondered myself as well.
Yep.
Is it okay to mix up types of meditation, e.g. body scan, loving kindness meditation, then breath, etc.? Or should I just focus on one?
Yeah. It depends a lot on your own personality. Some people find it useful just to stick with one. Other people find that they need to try a few different things, I think. But I think, generally speaking, those people that can just do one kind of meditation, they're pretty rare. You do get people like this, but they are quite rare. So for most people, it's much more healthy to have like a good balance of different kinds of practices. Now, what you'll find with developing different kinds of practices, that you'll find that one is a little, you resonate with a little bit more. You find it easier to make the mind calm with this one thing. You know, the examples that you gave was like body scanning, breath, and metta meditation. So say, for example, you might go, well, actually, you know, observing the sensations, this is the thing that really stills my mind and calms me down. So once you find this technique that has a little bit more tranquility waiting or something like this, then you probably want to use that as more of your mainstay and build a foundation around that practice. And use the other practices as like supplements. Use them in areas where you think, well, I know I need to balance my practice out a little bit, or, you know, even just the practice is maybe getting stale with just looking at the sensations. So I think it's important to have a nice balance of practices. Now, what you don't want to do here, though, is just go hopping from practice to practice to practice and never really developing some kind of foundation in one or a few techniques that really do make your mind calm. What we usually have the tendency to do is go, well, okay, I observe the sensations, and actually, yeah, I've done this once or twice and it's made my mind really calm, and this is good, and I find this is a good thing to do. And then what inevitably happens is a month later, it's like, well, it's not working anymore, so I'll throw that away and I'll go and try something else. I think that's really the only wrong approach. You know, if you found something that does work for you, stick with it. You know, sometimes it's going to be better, sometimes it's going to be worse. But if you develop this foundation with this one thing, then it becomes much easier to more effectively develop the other kinds of meditations that you need. Because essentially most meditations are you're developing the same kind of skill in all of them, in that in some way you're placing your awareness on a particular object. Your awareness might get diffuse and drift away, but then you bring your awareness back to that object. So it doesn't really matter what that object is, whether it's the sensations or whether it's the breath or whether it's metta. You've just found one that works a little bit better for you. So develop that capacity well and develop that foundation well. And then it does become a lot easier to do different kinds. But find one or two and sort of stick with it as your mainstay, as your foundation. But yeah, you can still try other practices. So yeah. So yeah, hopefully that answers the question.
Great. Thank you, Arjun. I think we might leave it there for tonight then.
Cool. Okay. Thanks everyone for coming. Thanks all for sticking around and stuff. Might see you again next Sunday. I won't see you, but you know, if you would like to come on Sunday, there's a Sunday talk. Ajahn Nisarana is giving the talk, and yeah, and that's about it. That's the next thing. So see you all.